The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter number 15, text number 11, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on November 1st, 2009, in Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
So today, we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter number 15, the descendants of King Priyavrata, text number 11. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shajang Shiya Kamasya Chayasya Kuman. Dudu Hiraja Rurato Baling Ripa. Pradyanchita Yudhi Dharmena Vipra. Yajashi Shang Shashtamang Shang Paretya. Chandang Shyakamashya Chayashya Kaman. Duduhira Jahurvato Baling Ripa. Prajanchita Yudhi Dharmena Vipra. Yajashi Shang Shashtama Angshang Paretya. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Although King Gaya had no personal desire for sense gratification, all his desires were fulfilled by the virtue of his performance of Vedic rituals. All the kings with whom Maharaj Gaya had to fight were forced to fight on religious principles. They were very satisfied with his fighting, and they would present all kinds of gifts to him. Similarly, all the Brahmins in his kingdom were very satisfied with King Gaya's munificent charities. Consequently, the Brahmins contributed a sixth of their pious activities for King Gaya's benefit in the next life. Report. As a Kshatriya or emperor, Maharaj Gaya sometimes had to fight with subordinate kings to maintain his government. But the subordinate kings were not dissatisfied with him because they knew that he fought for religious principles. Consequently, they accepted their subordination and offered all kinds of gifts to him. Similarly, the Brahmins who performed Vedic rituals were so satisfied with the king that they very readily agreed to part with a sixth of their pious activities for his benefit in the next life. Thus, the Brahmins and Kshatriyas were all satisfied with Maharaj Gaya because of his proper administration. In other words, Maharaj Gaya satisfied the Kshatriya kings by his fighting and satisfied the Brahmins by his charities. The Vaishyas were also encouraged by kind words and affectionate dealings, and due to Maharaj Gaya's constant sacrifices, the Shudras were satisfied by sumptuous food and charity. In this way, Maharaj Gaya kept all the citizens very satisfied. When Brahmins and saintly persons are honored, they part with their pious activities, giving them to those who honor them and render them service. Therefore, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 4:34, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. One should try to approach a spiritual master submissively and render service unto him. Vandeham. Shri Guru. Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sudaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha. So this is very amazing to read about this great Maharaj Gaya. It's very amazing. Can you imagine satisfying someone by your fighting with them? Amazing. Normally, if we fight with someone, they become very disturbed with us. But he was so pious and so Vedic, Pakka Vedic in everything he did. Even he satisfied the people that he fought with and defeated. They were very happy. Oh, we've been defeated by such a pious king. Yes, we surrendered his lotus feet. You see, become his subordinates. This is an extraordinary personality, King Gaya. Every single social order, as Prabhupada describes, they were all satisfied by him. How the world is crying now that we don't have such administrators as King Gaya running Canada, running the US, etc., etc. How much the earth is crying at the present time. The earth is so much burdened now. It's horribly burdened. The amount of sin that is going on, the ever-increasing amount of sin that is going on, is inconceivable. How much sin is going on right now, at this very minute, on this planet. Mother Bhumi is being tortured by the modern-day civilization. So we have to take lesson from this great king. Actually, our mission is to restore Vedic culture to this planet. Many people say, well, how is this possible? You can restore Vedic culture. This is the Kali Yuga. It's getting worse and worse and worse. It's supposed to become so bad that what will they do? When you invite someone over for dinner, if you get invited over for dinner, you're the dinner. The end of Kali Yuga. I'd like to invite you over for dinner. That's the end of the Kali Yuga, you see. Cannibalism, you see. It'd be so heavy. You don't go to the meat shop, you just go to your next door neighbor. Say, well, you know, I really love your child. I had him for dinner last night. He's really tasty. You see, that's how bad it will get. Not joking. That's how serious it will be, you see. Cannibalism. It'll be so bad. Well, people wonder, well, how you can possibly establish Vedic culture when the Kali Yuga is simply getting worse and worse and worse, according to Shastric, you know, descriptions. How is it possible? Well, the good news is, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, as confirmed in the scriptures, Prabhupada mentions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there'll be a 10,000-year golden era in the midst of the Kali Yuga. 10,000 years of nectar, chanting, dancing, feasting, celebrating the great mercy of Lord Chaitanya and the great acharyas like Prabhupada, you see. There'll be a 10,000 year period within the Kali Yuga. And this movement will expand like anything, inundating the whole world, you see. Satjana durjana pangu jadda anagana prema vanyaya dubaila jagatara jana. It is stated, predicted by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is not some speculator. He knows what he's talking about. He is Trikala Gya. He is the perfect knower of past, present, and future. Actually, he is one of the gopis in the spiritual world, one of the intimate associates of Krishna himself, and he descended here as Krishnadas Kaviraj, you see, sannyasi. And he has told us, Sajjana Durjana Pangu, whether you're pious, Sajjana, whether you're impious, Durjana, whether you're lame, invalid, or blind, everyone throughout the entire universe will become drowned in this Prema Tsunami, Prema Vanyaya, you see, this tidal wave of Krishna Prema, the Krishna consciousness movement, you see. Is a tidal wave of Krishna Prema. And it will inundate the entire universe, not only this planet, but the whole universe. Now we have international Sankirtan parties. Someday we will have intergalactic Sankirtan, traveling Sankirtan to different planets. You see. So, it is a glorious mercy that has been bestowed upon us by His Divine Grace. Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Astatarasatashi Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. That we can be little tiny assistants, you see. Even though, what is our qualification? We Kali Yugites. All we know how to, Kali Yugite means fight. We just know how to fight. That's about it. Fight and gratify our senses. Fighting in the family life, fighting with fame families, fighting. That is our nature, you see. But Prabhupada is so kind, and Lord Chaitanya's potency is so powerful coming through Prabhupada that somehow we fighting, quarreling Kali Yugites, we're just like the subordinate kings here, you see. We agreed that yes, this is very wonderful, we will serve this mission. In spite of so many disqualifications, you see. We're being used by Prabhupada and the previous acharyas to bring this golden ear of Lord Chaitanya to this planet. Just like Lord Ram, he engaged all those monkeys, you see, to defeat these powerful kshatriyas, you see. What a monkey can do against a powerful kshatriya who has all the mystic powers, you see, Brahma, that, you know, the Brahmastra, so many powers are there. The Kshatriyas had so many great mystic powers, so many powerful weapons of all descriptions. What a monkey can do, you see. But because those monkeys were acting on behalf of Lord Ram, they were fighting these powerful weapons just with some branches from a tree, and they were defeating them, you see. Because they had the Shakti of Ram, you see. Even though they themselves were not highly qualified, you see. So, in this way, we can become empowered by the Shakti. Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, Lord Chaitanya, if he agrees simply to become instruments as those monkeys did, you see. Simply agree to become instruments in the hands of Guru and the previous acharyas, then we can do something tangible to bring about the re-spiritualization of this planet, to bring actual happiness, you see, Ram Raj, or we can say Gaya Raj also, you see, bring Gaya Raj back to this planet. As Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur used to say, when the high court judges are wearing tilak, then we are successful, you see. So how many high court judges are wearing tilak now throughout the high courts, the supreme courts of this planet? What's the latest count? I think it's still zero, isn't it? We have a ways to go. You see, that every high court judge, you see, should wear tilak. So we can understand, well, if the high court judges will be wearing tilak, that means when the parliament meets, they'll have a rousing kirtan, you see, before they begin their session. It's like this rousing kirtan today, you see. When that day comes, when Bhakti Mark Swami is invited to the parliament to lead all the parliamentarians in the big rousing kirtan, then we know Canada is really coming, you know, fulfilling the prediction. Yeah.
I was just there the other day. I was all alone.
It was an empty room?
No, I was in the front of the building. So, chanting.
Ah.
But I was the only one there.
Ah. Well, that day comes when all the parliamentarians are there and they want you to lead them in a rousing kirtan. Then we know our movement has really taken a firm root, you see. So this is the wonderful nectar that we get to taste here, you know, to be a part of this amazing transformation of the consciousness of this planet. We have the most wonderful, amazing opportunity to be little tiny instruments in the hands of the previous acharyas for bringing about the most amazing paradigm shift that's ever been seen within this, at least within the modern history, perhaps in the whole history of the universe. But this is an amazing paradigm shift that we're actually experiencing. We're seeing now coming by the mercy of Prabhupada on this planet, and we get to be a part of it. Spiritual revolutionaries, you see. I can't think of any more exciting lifestyle. I mean, why read the news when you can be the news? Why study history when you can make history? You understand? So we have the greatest opportunity. Now, whether we'll see it in our lifetimes or not, you could say probably not, you know, because it's pretty, of course it could happen. Probably it won't. There'll probably be future generations before everyone's wearing tilak, you know. Many, many generations from now. But it's not impossible that it could happen even in our lifetimes. And the Prabhupada said, in 18 days, if you will simply cooperate with me, in 18 days I can make the whole world Krishna conscious. So it could happen in 18 days. You know, you say, well, it's not very likely because, you know, how many 18 days have gone by and it hasn't happened yet? It's our own impurities, really. Because Prabhupada points out in the Chaitanya Charitamrita purport, he says a devotee, a Krishna conscious being. Now, what is the name of our society? The International Society for Krishna Consciousness. That's it. Yes. That's the name of our society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Now, what does that mean the members are supposed to be? Krishna conscious, right? We're supposed to be Krishna conscious. Okay. So Prabhupada explains a Krishna conscious being. That means someone who is Krishna conscious. He explains in his wonderful Bhagavatam purport, a Krishna conscious being is always thinking how to deliver all of suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. That's his constant meditation, you see. And Prabhupada says, and even if he's not successful, his perfection is guaranteed, you see. And anybody who follows him, they will also become perfect. So, we may not see it happen, that's the point. But that meditation of thinking, how can we make this movement a success, you see? That meditation, if we always keep that meditation going strongly in our hearts, that meditation guarantees our perfection, each one of us individually. And anybody who we can convince to get in the same mood, they will also be delivered, you see? It is the special mercy of Lord Chaitanya that anyone who takes up this Sankirtan move of wanting to spread this movement, their perfection is guaranteed. So whether we see it happen or not really doesn't matter, you see. Just by being in that mood of wanting to re-spiritualize this planet as a member of this wonderful society, you see, this group family business that we have, you see. This is our family business. Spiritual revolution is our family business, you see. It's like when I go to Vrindavan, I go to one shop called Ganga Prasad to buy my dhotis and kurta. That's their family business. They have their father or grandfather's picture there in the shop. And the sons are all being trained how to keep Ganga Prasad going on generation. That's their family business, you see. Dhotis, kurtas, saris, like that, bead bags, that's their family business. Our family business is spiritual revolution, you see. Anybody who comes into this business, we train them how to be in this mood and how to train other people to be in this mood. And anybody who takes up this mood of spiritual revolution, you see, as mentioned at the Bhagavatam, the Sanskrit word viplavaha, you see, revolution. Anyone who takes this viplavaha consciousness very seriously, they are guaranteed to become perfect, to go back to Godhead. So in this way, we can nudge the global consciousness in the right direction, you see. Each and every one of us can have a positive, uplifting impact on the global consciousness just by trying to be instrumental to Guru and Krishna. Try to humbly serve the order of my spiritual master, you see. Another interesting purport in this connection, Prabhupada explains that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita purport, he says that when a devotee of the Lord chants the holy name without any offense, completely pure, Shudanam, Prabhupada says he becomes Jagat Guru. And under his influence, the entire world will take up Krishna consciousness. So what can you do if you're, you know, if someone is, say, has a job, most of our members now are working jobs, you know, they can't go out and do full-time. Maybe they can do a marathon every now and then, like today, that wonderful marathon's happening. But in a normal Monday through Friday work-a-day week, I mean, how much preaching, how much time do you have to go out and distribute books and do Harinam and preach and like that? Not so much time. So what you can do to be revolutionary on Monday morning at your office, you see? Well, here's the answer. Just by purely chanting the holy name, Prabhupada points that there's already a revolutionary impact. In other words, the quality of our chanting has an impact on the global consciousness. Right there in your bead bag, you can make a spiritual revolution just by pure chanting, you see. Because the more purely we chant, the more powerful an impact we have on the global consciousness. And when that chanting becomes absolutely perfect, magic is going to happen all around us. Just like we saw Prabhupada, you see. Wherever he went, magic happened all around him. It was amazing. He could transform an ordinary place into Vrindavan. Even sitting in the airport, waiting to get on a plane, you're not in the airport anymore. You're in Vrindavan, you see. Anyone who is purely chanting the holy name, you see, the magic happens all around them. Because wherever they go, they're living in Vrindavan. They're not living in the material world. So each one of us, we have right there in our bead bags, we have the most wonderful opportunity to have a revolutionary impact on this planet by striving for pure chanting every day, with every bead, you see, striving for pure devotion with each and every bead. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So that the day, that glorious day will come. The most wonderful, glorious day when we will have leaders like Maharaj Gaya on this planet, you see. That day will come. So, now I can ask if there's any questions. Yes, Prabhu?
Prabhu, you're mentioning that we may not see it in our lifetime. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Our enthusiasm mm-hmm. is tied in that way, so I'm just wondering how to keep our enthusiasm even if we don't have the prospect of necessarily.
Right. It's like an example. One time there was three men laying bricks, and one of them is like, it was like a drudgery for him. One was like, okay, you know, routine work kind of a mood. The other one was fired up like anything. You may have heard the story before. So anyway, somebody was amazed. They're all doing the same activity and they're in three states of consciousness, you see. What's the difference? So he asked everyone, what are you doing? He says, I'm laying bricks. And he asked the second, what are you doing? Well, I'm building a wall. And he asked the third one of his party, what are you doing? I'm building a cathedral. You see? So you got to have the vision. That's the point. When you're in the kitchen there washing, scrubbing those pots, you know, you got to have vision. What am I doing? Am I just scrubbing pots? You see? Well, if that's your only vision, then, you know, I'm washing pots. You may not be so enlightened, but you understand, I'm making Krishna's kitchen clean. And that's perfection. But if you also can think, I'm a part of Lord Chaitanya's movement to completely clean up the whole planet, then you get really totally enlivened, you see. I'm purifying my heart, and the more that by washing this pot, I'm scrubbing my own heart, of all the dirt out of my own heart, and the more I scrub the dirt out of my heart, the more I can have an impact to scrub the dirt out of this, the whole material existence, you see. So in this way, you just got to have vision, Prabhu. It's called Shastric vision. Shastra Chakshush, Prabhupada Chakshush. See how Prabhupada would see it. Think, well, how would Prabhupada see this activity? You see? What would Prabhupada's attitude be? If he, you know, how should Prabhupada, how does Prabhupada see this service? Just like one time he was there in his quarters in Los Angeles. One of his big preachers, traveling sannyasi, was there. And Prabhupada often was very pleased with his sannyasis. He'd have so much discourse with them about their preaching. Very wonderful, loving exchanges with his sannyasi disciples, you see. But there was some simple Brahma training there, arranging Prabhupada's vase, the flowers in his vases, you see. And Prabhupada completely ignored the sannyasi. He was talking with the Brahma Srini, you see, all about her service, and this and that. So it really doesn't matter what your service is. It doesn't matter what your service is. It's the mood that makes the difference. It's the mood. So if we have that proper vision and we have the proper mood, then we can be happy and enlivened no matter what our situation is. We can be absolutely ecstatic in any kind of situation of serving Krishna. As a householder working a job like Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, I'm earning money to maintain Krishna's household. He didn't think, my wife, my children, my house, that's my, you see. He thought, this is Krishna's property. I'm earning this livelihood to maintain Krishna's household. So if we keep everything, keep that transcendental vision in everything that we're doing, I'm just a humble, insignificant servant trying to somehow please my spiritual master and the previous acharyas, you see, by everything that I do, by every thought, by every word, and by every deed. Then one can be enlivened, completely enlivened in the role that he or she has been given by Krishna in this wonderful Sankirtan movement. Any other questions? Yeah.
His spiritual merit that is earned by performing pious activities or perhaps by chanting, is it like a commodity that is traded, given away?
A what kind of?
Some kind of a commodity that can be given away, traded, bought and sold.
That's described here, yeah. The Brahmins gave 1/6 of their pious activities for King Gaya's benefit. And then Prabhupada, in his purport, he brings it to the spiritual master. He ends his purport saying that when Brahmins and saintly persons are honored, they part with their pious activities, giving them to those who honor them and render them service. Therefore, we should approach the spiritual master and render him service, as the Prabhupada is saying. So what is the understanding about that? Does the spiritual master lose something when he blesses his disciples? Now he's losing his pious assets because he gave them away? Well, if he thinks he's a doer, then he is in trouble. That's a fact. But if he humbly understands, I'm simply an instrument in the hands of my spiritual master, and it's all Krishna's mercy anyway. I don't have any mercy to give anyone. See, the guru thinks, I'm going to give you my mercy. I will now give you my mercy. You see, that guru is in trouble. He's in big trouble. Prabhupada says the spiritual master does not have his own mercy. He's simply like that rain cloud is bringing the water from the ocean, you see. So the spiritual master, or any Vaishnava, you see, he is actually bringing the mercy of Krishna. If he's thinking that it's his own, I'm distributing my own pious assets, then he's in hot water, really. He's in hot water. You see. So the Vaishnava should never think that I am giving my mercy. He has to always think, well, you know, there's a fire. I'm just in the bucket brigade, you know. There's a fire right here, and I'm in the line here, and I'm just passing the water down the bucket brigade, you see. That's the proper move. So in that spirit, the spiritual master or any Vaishnava never becomes depleted, because they're not proudly taking the credit that I am the doer, you see. They just think I'm a humble, as Prabhupada said, I'm a puppet in the hands of Krishna. Now, my dear Krishna, you make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you like. So as long as one is in that mood, then one will have unlimited pious assets to bestow upon anyone who is willing to take them, and will not become depleted in any way, because it's all coming from Krishna. He's the ultimate repository of unlimited pious benefits. Any other questions? Is everyone satisfied now, ready to revolutionize the planet? Yes.
How do we cultivate this mood or this proper attitude?
Yeah. It's a very important question, because, as is often said, pride cometh before the fall. If I'm not humble, then I'm actually in a very dangerous position. I can fall down at any time. You see? Just like the Hatha yogis, mystic yogis, by my strength, you know, I will conquer over my mind, you see. It's a dangerous position. There's some pride there, you see. The pure devotee doesn't have that pride. But the yogi, he may have that pride, that I, by my power of my yoga, I will conquer my mind. So it's a dangerous position. So there's a very nice verse given by Rupa Goswami in this connection. And if we can imbibe fully the mood of this shloka, then that serpent, that false pride, will be subdued, and true humility will emerge. Tunda, Tunde Tandavani Rating Tundavali Lamdeye Karna Kuroda Kadambani Gatayate Kunarbudebyaspriham Cheta Prangana Sangani Vijayate Sarvendriyanam Kritim Yojane janita kiyadvir amritai krishneti varnadvai. Which means, I do not know how much nectar is produced by these two syllables, Krishna. When those names are chanted, when they are uttered within the mouth, you see, then Krishna is dancing within the mouth, and I then desire many, many mouths. When those holy names enter within the holes of the ears, we then desire many, many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances within the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and all the senses become inert. So that holy name actually has the power to make us humble. If we will fully submit ourselves to that holy name, allow it to dance within our hearts, You see, allow the name to dance on the tongues, to echo within the ears, to dance within the courtyard of the heart. If we will fully take that holy name within our hearts with complete love and appreciation, then the humility will automatically be there. That's the thing. Of course, it says you have to chant in a humble state of mind. So if you're so puffed up that the holy name is not dancing in your heart, it's like a, it becomes like a wallflower in your heart. You know that wallflower, what that means? It's an old saying in English, being the wallflower at the party. Somebody who doesn't want to get into the dance, they kind of try to merge into the wall. They get too shy, you know, because they're called a wallflower, like a wallpaper, you know. So, if the holy name is kind of like on the periphery, but it's not really dancing, you see, and because we're too proud, what do we do then? Well, that's where the Vaishnavas are our very best friends, you see. Guru, Vaishnavas, they are our best friends. Because if we can somehow please the Guru, somehow please Vaishnavas, then by their blessings, then we can develop some taste for chanting. That's stated in the Bhagavatam. Shushu Shoshra Dadana Sha Vasudeva Katarushi, you see. By rendering service to the great devotees, you see. By Guru, to Guru and senior Vaishnavas, advanced devotees, you see. Or any devotee, there's great benefit. But especially those, if we can take advantage of the association of those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness, then we can develop a great taste. Just like I'm very honored and happy to be here with my beloved godbrother Bhakti Marg Swami, you see. Just by taking his darshan, I'm feeling very blessed, you see. I know that by his association, I can get more and more taste for the holy names by hearing his kirtan, you see. So in this way, if we take advantage of the association of advanced devotees, you see, then we can get a taste for the name, and then by that taste, then that rascal ahankar, which is the opposite of pride, of humility, I mean to say, that rascal ahankar, he'll just give up, you know. He'll give up trying to be the controller of us, and we'll just slither away, go somewhere else. If your heart is filled with Krishna bhakti, you see, if the hotel of your heart is filled with Krishna bhakti, when Mr. Pride comes to check into your hotel, what will the sign say? No vacancy. You'll have to go next door to take up residence in somebody else's heart, Mr. False Pride, you see. So in this way, we just had to fill ourselves up with Krishna consciousness 24/7. And then the natural humility which one has in his original pure state of consciousness will become manifested. Did that help a little bit? Okay. I try to give service when I give the answers because I want to help you in your spiritual pathway. So I'm hoping I'm successful in doing that by the mercy of Prabhupada. Any other questions? Yes, Maharaj.
Have you ever been to Fiji?
Hmm?
Did you ever go to Fiji?
Yes, I noticed on your... I saw somewhere that you were there. Yes, I've gone many times to Fiji. It's, I call it Kaliya Loka. It's the residence of a great devotee of the Lord. Kaliya is still living there.
Have you had a chance to see him? No, he's
in staying aloof. Actually, according to the Fijian people, according to their, you could say, mythology, not really mythology, going back for many, many generations, back into antiquity, they understand there's a big snake living in the mountain. Prabhupada confirmed that Kali was living there. So I have seen him in the Krishna Kaliya Mandir. Krishna is dancing on his head. Yes, I have seen Kaliya. I've taken his darshan many times. He's very happily defeated by Krishna's lotus feet dancing on his head. Any other questions? So if there's no further questions, we can end here. Thank you very much. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.